the value you will bring to yourself in getting help and taking the appropriate steps to look after you. I don't know. I get speechless when I try to even think about it because I'm so passionate about it. You're worth it. It doesn't matter if you have these great big fancy things and you're trying to keep up with the really prominent horse people in the barn. Hard work prevails. It pays off, right? Yeah. But you also have to be able to see that you're worth putting work into.
There is a depth and a breadth to our lives that largely goes unexplored. As an equestrian life mindset coach and host of this podcast, I am here to lead you on that exploration. Deep conversations covering topics in and out of the show ring with industry leaders and unsung heroes alike, sharing their stories and what makes their journey unique, but relatable at the same time. We all have stories to share and lessons to trade, something we've learned from a horse or from each other. So relax and be ready to listen with more than just your ears. I'm Tracy Mitchell. Welcome to Hitting Your Stride. I've had a lot of fascinating and unique guests join me on this podcast, and Alicia Wilson clearly belongs in that category. As founder and certified facilitator of Transitions Equine Assisted Learning, Alicia has been making a positive impact on people's lives with the assistance of horses, all while reinforcing the notion that horses are a special animal. We talk about how she got started in the field of equine assisted learning and what being able to follow her passion means to Alicia. Having experienced some personal turmoil, she now follows two simple credos: trust the journey and embrace the ride. It's something that is going to become abundantly clear as this episode goes along that Alicia does and encourages her Transitions visitors to do as well. The stories she has to share are amazing, ranging from the lessons she's gleaned from the horses that have been with her throughout her journey to the comedic proclamation by her daughter that it was going to be ponies or nothing else for her. And as she talks about her growing dedication to mental health awareness, Alicia shares some touching stories that are sure to make you sit up and take notice of what the true value of a horse's lessons really are. So let's dig in. Alicia, you're up. Welcome to the show. Well, welcome, Alicia Wilson, to Hitting Your Stride. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, I feel very lucky to have you on. I think this is a topic that, you know, maybe not a lot of people are fully aware of. Maybe they've heard of it, but I think, you know, based on a few hours we spent together a couple of weeks ago with me learning a little bit more about this, I thought, wow, this is definitely a topic that I think, I don't know, given that it's very horsey related, I think more horse people maybe need to know about it a bit more. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's a really good program for horse people and non-horse people alike, obviously. But especially when you are thinking about, you know, an older, perhaps a young and sort of, non-riding horse situation. You don't really want to get rid of them, but they, you know, still have a use, right? They can still be very valuable in the equine industry in a non-riding capacity.
Exactly. All right. So let's kick this off. Give me your best description of what equine assisted learning is and why it's important.
Sure. So equine assisted learning is an experience-based approach to learning leadership and life skills with horses. So it's not about riding or horsemanship or anything like that. It focuses on participants working with horses through a series of objective-based obstacles. And that's really important because it helps with personal growth, because it'll help to build better communication, some teamwork, help out with some of that problem-solving skills, self-confidence, really good for emotional well-being. Interacting with the horses is really emotionally therapeutic. Any horse person will tell you that. You know, they offer stress relief, relaxation, you know, when you achieve, it can give you a sense of achievement. You know, empathy and empowerment, obviously, working with horses fosters all of those things. And overall, it's just a really powerful tool for personal development, therapy, and education, offering some unique insights for opportunities for growth.
Okay. So what is the typical reaction to finding out that EAL doesn't involve riding?
So typically at the beginning of when I'm doing a kids camp or a kids event, unless the parents have explained to them that it's non-riding, the kids tend to be just a little bit disappointed. But the ladies and date night participants are usually relieved. Like, especially the guys, they're like, oh my gosh, thank goodness. I thought we were going on a trail ride. And I'm like, no. What I will say about their reaction with the kids specifically is after about 15 or 20 minutes into the first exercise, they're pretty quick to agree that horses are fun and, you know, valuable, even if they're not being ridden. And I laugh because these kids are learning something while they're with me, and they're learning something very important and valuable, and like they're having fun doing it. So who knew?
Exactly. So for those that are listening that are maybe not like avid horse people, and I will say honestly, I've been in this world for long enough to know that even people who spend time with horses every day are not fully aware of the time that they're spending with them, if you know what I mean, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So for those that are listening, how can you explain it to them in a way? Because I'm playing devil's advocate or just asking, like, well, how do you expect the horses to know how to respond to you? And or B, they're so big. Like, how do these exercises work? Can you give those listeners a condensed version of how this equine behavior works with people and the end results that are so amazing?
Yeah, that's a really excellent question. So horses have this really awesome ability to give you immediate and non-judgmental feedback because they can feel your presence. They can feel if you're stressed, they can feel if you're anxious, you know, and in a situation where I have a non-horsey person who comes to me and they're slightly nervous because they're dealing with a bigger animal, it really is just very important for us to try and build a small relationship between the human and the horse at that point through touch and, you know, even just walking them around in a circle, you know, and just getting them confident with leading the horse, you know, through an obstacle. Typically speaking, you know, I've had lots of ladies specifically come out really nervous because they've never been around a horse, love them, can't, but is a, they're afraid, right?
Yeah.
And we get into just, okay, let's take a big deep breath. And I explain that the horse can really feel how you're feeling because they can detect your heartbeat from, I think, 4 feet away.
Nice.
You know, so take a big deep breath and I want you to relax your shoulders and just enjoy the moment. Don't think about what could happen because that's a future problem, right? Don't think about what may have happened when you were 12 and got stepped on, right? I want you to be in this moment with me right now and the horse and just really think about what you're doing and just enjoy it. You know, our horses are put through an assessment, so they're not going to purposely do anything to hurt anybody, you know, and it's just a matter of just getting comfortable. So it really is about just building a relationship with yourself, really, so that you can better lead the horse.
I think that's amazing. And I'm just thinking back to, you know, like, again, those of us that handle horses every day, and we think that we have a really good relationship with them. I mean, I'm far, far more aware of my energy now when I'm working with different horses than I was, you know, 26 years ago.
Of course.
And it's just, it's fascinating to me because like I had this experience where I was spending time with a friend of mine horse. So, you know, he and I were going to go for a hack. And it'd been the first time in a long time I'd just been with a horse to just kind of, you know, brush the body. And he, this big, beautiful horse didn't really know me from a hole in the ground. And my friend turned and looked at me and he goes, wow, like he's really super aware of your energy, Tracy. And it just made me like the poor guy. Cause like my buddy's like, wow, he never stands so still. And I'm like, oh, like, oh my God, mm-hmm. am I intimidating him? Like, it really took me out of my head and went, what am I telling this horse that I'm unintentionally telling him? Like, it was so powerful. That experience changed me. Now, that wasn't in an EAL situation, but it could have been. Like, it was a situation that was about, you know, it's very simple, very raw, horse and me. The guy knew the horse, I didn't. And he's saying, my horse is like really intimidated by you right now. And I'm like, oh my God, that totally changed how I interact with horses, yep. how we interact with people. It was life changing. Do you see people, like, we're going to talk more about this, but like, do you see people come into your sessions and then leave completely different people?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I can think back to this past summer, actually, where I had an Essence of She event. And I had a lady come out, and she came out and she was really high energy, even though she didn't act high energy. It wasn't like she was bouncing around or, you know, that she was just all over the place. It was I could feel her anxiety. Ah. Right. And I could feel how uptight she was. And I really picked up on that. So, you know, when we got her into the arena and I did some of these ground-based exercises with her just to get comfortable, right? Like, just, let's just brush, right? Yeah. Just brush this horse for right now. I want you to focus completely on what you're doing. I want you to take deep breaths while you're doing it and really just focus on relaxing and really enjoying yourself. And honest to goodness, she left. She's actually done a video after the fact for us and said, like, I cannot believe how much lighter I feel. I feel lighter. I feel like I can, you know, conquer my day. So wow. Without being anxious, right? And that to me is really important and it's really powerful. These days, you know, there are so many people that suffer with just that tense, that constant perpetual yes. tense. We work in offices, we're constantly, we have the, you know, the triangle of agony in our shoulders because of all the tension that we carry, right? And women specifically, we carry it in our shoulders, our hips, you know, and that tension really does carry to a lot of different places in our lives, whether we like to admit it or not. Yep. So, you know, to be able to offer a space and a program that can help alleviate that, even, you know, just to give you the tool to remind yourself, just, hey, take a deep breath and relax, right? I don't have to worry for the moment. There's nothing to worry about. You know, that's huge.
Yeah. This type of program, I just think, gives you those skills outside of the norm that we're always trying to control. So when you when you get us out of a situation that we are trying to control, or that's our, you know, lengthy to-do list, and we put ourselves in a situation with an entity, a sentient being that is just all about energy, it's such a cool experience.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Exactly.
Okay. So Alicia, horses have played a key role in your life from your introduction to the horsey world as a baby. And then when you lost your horses following your parents' divorce, and now as the owner and operator of Transitions Equine Assisted Learning, thinking about that, what do you believe gives horses the ability to shape someone's life in such a foundational way?
It's another really great question, actually. As I stated before, horses are really, really good at giving instant and non-judgmental feedback. So really, they'll call you out on your bullshit 1 minute and the next minute they'll forgive you for it, right? Yeah. Which isn't the norm in the human realm. And I believe if you can learn to be open to the feedback that they're giving you, right, and allow yourself a little bit of grace and some forgiveness and just slow down enough to listen and really analyze what they're giving you feedback on, which of course requires some self-reflection, which could be very minute self-reflection, or it could be like a very profound self-reflection, right? You know, they can do some pretty amazing things for your mindset and your confidence. So, you know, that alone is huge. I would say for myself, you know, honesty, perseverance, authenticity, patience, the ability to keep a forward thought process without going too far into the future and causing myself worry. Those are all some foundational things that I can attribute my time with horses.
Wow.
So
Yeah, when you mentioned some of the things the horse, you know, can teach us, I think humility was the main word that popped into my mind when you were talking there. Cause it's like, yeah, you know, just because we're the human, we don't have all the answers, and they can really show us something in a brief moment.
Yeah. And you know, the important thing to note on that is we don't have to have all the answers. It's not up to us to know the answers to every single thing that comes our way in a day. Yeah. It really is just how we handle it. We are in control of how we respond to the situations.
Wow. Okay. I knew this conversation was going to be a fun one, and I knew it was going to be like a real conversation about this. I'm very passionate about this part of, you know, being with horses. I think it's pretty important.
Yeah.
All right. So your story is full of ups and downs, and I'd like to just add that that is called life, and
yeah,
we've all had them. Some of this includes some family turmoil, some personal tragedies and setbacks, but also coupled with the joy of having a family of your own now. Yeah. Do you have a personal mantra that's helped guide you in the low moments and been your touchstone to keep you grounded in the good ones?
That's a fantastic question. I have lots, actually, but I would have to say the biggest one that I started with is trust the journey. And later on, I added embrace the ride. Right. So trust the journey. Mainly, it's that age old saying that everything happens for a reason. It sounds kooky. It sounds kind of crazy to people who really just don't care or don't think about it. Right. But, you know, I think back to some situations in my life, some of those tumultuous situations and personal tragedies. And I think, wow, you know, in the moment, it sucked. It was really bad. Right. But everything happens for a reason. I can see that the things that happened always have worked out for the best, which is really how embrace the ride was kind of added to the end of my trust the journey mantra, because, you know, you might not like what's happening at the moment, right? But embrace it. You're learning something in that moment. So, you know, and then as always, I try really hard to always practice gratitude in some form, right? There's always something to be grateful for, you know, even if it's just waking up to try again today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, in preparing for our conversation, you know, I always go over the questions numerous times and I sit with them and everything. And this one, I'm like, okay, so mine would be, and the first thing that popped up for me as a mantra is, you know, everything happens for a reason. Yeah. Now, over the last few years, as I've, you know, dived into this world of, you know, life coaching and doing that kind of thing, you know what, the more I learn, the more I listen to other people, you know, I've heard some people say, oh, that's such a cock a bull or whatever, right? Like, yeah, you know, everything happens for a reason, blah, blah, blah. That's so hard to hear. And I guess the other side of that, when you get on the other side of that statement, it's like, okay, yes, this has happened, but now what, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, this has happened, but now what are the choices that I'm going to make that will lead me out of this or towards mm-hmm. something else, no matter, you know, what it is that you're looking at. So what do you think about that?
Yeah, right.
All right. So you've called getting EAL certified a profound experience and that you learned things about yourself you didn't expect. Can you give us some examples of what you've discovered?
You know, as I stated earlier, when I first did the EAL certification and I started that journey, it was really just a way for me to try and, you know, do an easy, as I do quote unquote, easy certification to get me into the horse industry without actually having to be able to provide lessons. So, you know, no riding lessons. I just wanted to be able to share my passion, I guess, with people. So, you know, while I thought it was an easy certification and it was a way for me to start my business, it really was way more than that. When I showed up to the class, fully expected that we'd be going over proper horse handling, appropriate groundwork, different and learning how to set up the different obstacles throughout the courses, right? So, you know, here's your obstacle and this is how you set it up. And then you have to get the people to walk through it. And that was kind of my closed thought process on the certification. What I actually showed up to was a very, very educational, highly emotional, and incredibly fulfilling class where I learned that I personally impose these imaginary guidelines on my life and follow them.
So, can you give an example of what one of these imaginary guidelines might be?
An imaginary guideline. Yeah. So, for example, you know, I get up in the morning and I go to make myself a cup of coffee. And, you know, my imaginary guideline in the morning is basically like, okay, so you've got to get up and you've got to do A, B, and C. And if you don't do A, B, and C in this order, something terrible is going to happen to you. Okay. You have to follow it this way, right? And then, you know, you learn that you don't have to do A, B, C in order. You can do C and then B, and maybe you don't get to A until later on in the day. Nobody's going to die. It's an imaginary rule that you have placed in your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't stress yourself out about stuff like that. Don't make life harder than it has to be.
Right.
If that makes any sense at all.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Right. So the other thing that I learned was that, you know, and it kind of goes back to the imaginary rule thing, is I have to think outside of the box. There's not a set of guidelines that say that I have to get to, you know, to a certain place by doing, you know, what everybody else has done.
Right.
What works for somebody else isn't going to work for me. So, you know, those building block exercises and just really thinking about, how to think outside the box, and then really just then trusting the journey.
Okay. Right. So, well, what would you say then? So like, we know that, you know, this is a good thing for kids to help them to grow and develop their confidence and many more things. You've shared that you've done this with, you know, your women, that, you know, a group of women that come to your lovely little farm and experience some aha moments. What would you say to the strivers right now that are listening to this, that are so goal oriented that they think, well, okay, look, I've been doing this long enough. I know that my life, in order for me to move forward and achieve what I want to achieve, I've got to do this, 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 and this. It's worked for me so far, Alicia. So why, as a business owner or someone who's working in the corporate field or something like that, right? Like a barn manager that's got like 20 horses to look after. What would they learn out of experiencing this thinking outside of the box? How would they benefit?
I think my first question in a situation like that, it's going to come back to me self-reflecting on myself a little bit, because I kind of had that same process, right? I've gotten where I want to be and this is where I'm at. Have you? Have you actually unlocked your full potential? Have you realized your full potential? Is there something that you could do slightly different that could increase your revenue in your corporate setting by even $10,000? $10,000 could be huge for people.
Yeah.
Right? So have you, and really think about that. Have you actually reached your potential? And if you feel like there's some things that you can do different, then what can you do differently? And, you know, horses will help you. The EAL program will help you realize that, because they are team members, right? So they're your team member. And in order for things to flow smoothly, you have to have teamwork. You know, so is your team operating at an optimal capacity? Maybe not. Maybe you could use some team building work.
And perhaps, you know, they might ask themselves, am I communicating clearly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So I had a lady come out for a corporate team building, workshop, And she had, I think, four team members. And we were working through the obstacles, you know, and what her aha moment was, you know, she was had told her team to do something, right? So she had gone ahead. They were working through the obstacles. Everything was fantastic. She told her team member, okay, you need to do this. And they started to do what she had asked them to do, but it wasn't exactly the way she thought it should be done.
Oh.
Which then, of course, caused a little bit of tension, right? So then, you know, at that point, you pause and you stop and you say, okay, so they were doing what you were asking them to do. What do you feel that, or what do you think they could have done differently? And she had to actually think about it for a second. And she's like, oh my gosh, like I'm a micromanager.
Ah. Okay.
You know, so, and I was like, yes, yes, potentially you said it though. I didn't.
Wow. So did she leave there? Like, did you get any feedback after that experience with her and her people, how things changed?
Yeah, the feedback was great. She's like, when I start to feel like micromanaging, like I stop myself and I'm like, okay, just take a break. They're doing what I'm asking them to do. Let them do it their way. It's still getting done and it's more efficient actually than the way that I was doing it.
Wow. And what little individual on your farm was this woman working with? Who was she working with that showed her this?
Actually, she's working with Veronica. So Veronica is a rescue. I actually got her from CYB Farms. And Veronica is like the craziest little soul on the planet. She's 20 years old and it's her way or the freaking highway. Ooh. And, you know, unless you ask her properly, right? So when you have two, and I say this with air quotes and I say it lovingly, when you have two micromanage personalities in the same area, like one of you has to give and it's not going to be Veronica.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Okay. So mental health awareness is a topic that gets a lot of attention these days, and rightly so. Can you tell us about how you came to value your own mental health journey and how it can be a big factor for equestrian athletes in and out of the ring?
Yeah, that's a really, really great question. So, you know, for myself, I think one of the biggest lies I told myself throughout my life, and sometimes I can still do it too, is that the more I do, the more I'm worth, right?
Ah.
So get straight A's, don't step out of line, God forbid, don't say no, right? You know, and among certain company, you know, that lack of boundaries could very well be all you're worth in their eyes. And it's important to realize that that's not where your worth lies, right?
Yeah.
When you finally learn to set some boundaries, you know, for the people who you're no longer fully serving their agendas, it results in them not wanting you or needing you around. Mm. Right? That's not where your worth lies. So, you know, through really hard, some really sad, irreversible situations, you know, I've learned to those types of people just don't align with my values and what I'm trying to accomplish. They don't belong at my table. You know, you can't pour from an empty cup. And so many of us keep trying to pour from that damn empty cup. And lots of times, most times, to the detriment of our own well-being and specifically our own mental health, right? Mental health is so intertwined with how your body feels, you know? So unfortunately, poor mental health is really prominent in the agriculture industry as a whole. You know, there's feelings of inadequacy, burnout, anxiety, you know, caused from financial stresses, having too much on our plate, not setting healthy boundaries, a combination of a few of those things. You know, there were actually recently some statistics released from the Center for Suicide Prevention that a survey of over 1,100 Canadian producers found that farmers are facing more mental health challenges than were ever documented before. So in this study, they found that 45% reported high stress. They fell into classifications for anxiety and depression. So I think it was 57% for anxiety and 35% for depression. So when I read those statistics, I kind of dug a little deeper online, and I found that there was a voluntary survey done, which was really only done for awareness purposes, because it's not something that's well documented in the equine industry or hasn't been that I'm aware of. Out of 181 individuals in the equine industry, both past and current, 83% presented with depression, 77% presented with anxiety, and 28% had panic attacks. So, you know, for me, it's statistics like this combined with the loss of a good friend of mine from suicide that kind of spurred me into my mental health journey and becoming ASSIST certified, which is applied suicide intervention skills training. To be able to help set up safety plans for people who really don't see another way out and wish to commit suicide. Right. So, you know, in the ring, this type of mental health really rears its ugly head as anxiety, which shows as big, sometimes explosive emotions, or even a general lack of caring. The problem is it's not just the rider or the coach that suffers from that, right? Our horses do too, because they feel us. Yeah. They feel our emotions, they feel our tension, they, you know, and they feed off it. Oftentimes they are a mirror into our souls, you know, and it causes this snowball effect where we see meltdowns of epic proportions from the horse and then the rider, or vice versa. And then then folks that are feeling this way, I think it's really important to, you know, evaluate and compare your values and goals to where you actually are, and then adjust and align to work to where you want to be, right? Wow. And then it's very, very important to take time for yourself and really focus on refilling that empty cup.
Wow, Alicia, thank you for sharing that. And your passion and your commitment was very clear in what you've just shared. So I would like to add like two things there. Something that you said really resonates with me, and you've mentioned it previously too, was your values. And yeah. I've just recently done some upgrading in my life coaching certifications and done some value-based coaching. It's something now that, I don't know, it's something like maybe we don't consider our values enough as to then setting boundaries for ourselves and allowing us the outlet to ask for help, search for help, set ourselves up in an ideal situation so we have good mental health. What do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, asking for help in a mental health situation it takes a lot of courage. And I really feel like it's a value that we're taught not to have, right? It really is, because it's back to that stupid guideline and the imaginary rule, you know, asking for help is wrong. It's weak. It's not the correct thing to do, right? People will say things. That's bullshit. Mm-hmm. Always. There's always a way for help. Always. You know, seeking help for yourself, the value you will bring to yourself in getting help and taking the appropriate steps to look after you, I don't know. I get speechless when I try to even think about it because I'm so passionate about it. It's you're worth it. You're worth it. It doesn't matter, you know, it doesn't matter if you have these great big fancy things and you're trying to keep up with the you know, the really prominent horse people in the barn. Hard work prevails. It pays off, right? Yeah. But you also have to be able to see that you're worth putting work into.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I just think too, like so much is going through my mind right now as far as, you know, those of us who, you know, and I'll speak for me, I was a sensitive kid growing up, and, you know, the horses have always been my healing point for me. And even as, you know, my massage therapy career, it, even though I'm helping them, I know they're still helping me. Like it's crazy. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, and, but then on top of us sensitive people who are drawn to horses, and we, there's a reason why we're drawn to them. On the other coin, on the other side of the coin that you touched on is like, well, it's kind of like us, let's just say us horse girls, you know, we're very yeah. independent. We don't like, we get stuff done. There's like, so we don't ask for help. It's almost assumed that we should be able to handle everything.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And the simple fact of the matter is, and there's no shame in it. Yeah. Everybody needs help sometimes, and it's okay to ask for help. Even small things. This is about filling your cup too, right? You yeah. need help throwing hay in the paddock? Ask somebody in your house to help you throw hay in the paddock or in the barn or whatever, right? Do you need help with your, you know, with my kids, for example, you need help with your homework? Well, don't sit here and agonize over it. Ask for help. We'll help you. Even if we don't know the answers, because sometimes the homework these days, like, I'm not going to lie, I don't know how these kids are doing it, but you know, but if we have to find a tutor, then we're going to find you a tutor and get you the help that you need to succeed in that area. Right. So yeah.
Just
because somebody seems independent, likely lots of times those really hyper independent individuals are really looking for someone to help. They just don't know how to ask.
Yeah. Whew. All right. So I looked up this name. I looked this up, and the name Lilith means belonging to the night. It is said that with this name, you give a child a powerful figure to look up to and someone who doesn't let anything hold them back. You said you learned a lot from your horse, Lilith, and credit her for inspiring your EAL path. What were some of the specific things that she helped teach you, and how do you pass that knowledge along to those who need it?
Oh, lots. she certainly lived up to her name, because I've learned definitely, like, there's not anything that's going to hold me back. When I put my mind to something, it's done. Wow. It's just a matter of how and when it gets done, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would say some of the specific things that she's taught me, trust is huge. Tenacity. I already kind of have a little bit of tenacity, but she just gave me that extra nudge to be that much more tenacious. And she also really instilled a motivation to be better, to be a better human. You know, when I bought this horse, she was still relatively green and kind of hot-headed. and being newly introduced into the hunter world and younger, I was green and hot-headed and less mature. you know, and I learned through this horse that when I can laugh at myself, you know, when I could laugh at myself, she could laugh with me, right? And she would be more forgiving and let things slide. You know, we talked about a little while ago about a mirror, horses being a mirror. She really was a mirror of my day and of how I was feeling in the moment. You know, if I was uptight and I'm struggling to relax and, you know, try and stay in the moment with her, she became very uptight and she struggled to focus and we didn't have a very good ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she really did. She mirrored every thought, emotion, and backache that I had, you know, so, at the beginning, it was frustrating because I'm trying to learn a new discipline. You know, I'm dealing with a horse that I was probably overhorsed at the moment. You know, I just learned that eventually you have to check yourself at the door. You have to leave the worries and the problems of your office job or your, unfortunate situation with an argument you've had with somebody, or you know what I mean? You got to leave that out and you need to just really be in the moment. You know, and when she and I got into a good groove and we learned to trust each other, like we could fly. I was so happy on that horse. you know, I had, I remember one schooling show, I was still relatively new to Hunter and just, you know, playing around. And our coach had done a Passant fun class. I was the oldest rider at the barn at the time. I think maybe second oldest. Anyways, old adult, little sport horse mare. She's only 15 hands high, you know, and I'm among these kids who were young and a little hot-headed and on well-seasoned horses. And one of these young ladies had made a comment about how she had the class in the bag, this puissance class in the bag. And I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, I happened to overhear her, say this as I was walking past. And I looked at my coach, and I said, like, should I even try this? And I'll never forget her response. She's like, you just sit up and you look up and you trust the work that you two have done together. Right. And I think by the end of the puissance, Lilith and I wound up around the 3.5 to 4 foot mark. It was the most fun. Like, it was just the best. So, you know, here I am, little old me with my 15 hand high Lilith. And it was like we scaled Everest. It was the most freeing sensation. right. So, you know, just the simple fact that this horse made me feel so alive. It was a slightly more challenging time in my life at that point. It was enough to make me want to do the EAL certification and, you know, take what I've learned with her and just, you know, help others realize those feelings, you know, wow. Trusting yourself and having confidence to go for it, even if you're faking it until you make it, you know, perseverance, just learning to trust the process and let go a little bit.
Wow. You know, like, I love having these conversations with different people and the different, you know, paths I cross. It's like when you hear stories about that one horse that changed your life or helped you through something really challenging. So I'm going to get emotional. But my longtime listeners, my very first episode, it's called Leuvenkind, or to the English language, it looks like Lohenkind. And, you know, like, she saved my life in so many instances. Yeah. And that very first episode was our journey together from the very, very beginning to when we came back together to her telling me that I got this now. And she left me. Like, it's the lessons I carry with me every day from those experiences. And they weren't all with me riding her. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
There's those other little moments where those lessons are taught the way only horses can. And her name, Leuvenkind in German, means child of the lion. So it kind of sounds like she and Lilith were maybe from the same pod, because they definitely
taught us
something. Yes. Oh my goodness. What a beautiful story. Oh, Alicia.
Thank you.
And I know you've got plenty of stories for this next question too. So can you share any experiences you've had in helping people with EAL and how it's changed them? So maybe can you pick, I know you shared with me a story about a young girl that was very cool, very emotional. If you could share that one and maybe another one with an adult experience.
Yeah, for sure. So with my young girl, her parents were just actually trying to get her to have a feeling of more confidence while she was around horses on the ground so that she'd be more confident in the saddle. So basically, you know, this was when I first started out doing EAL, and they were like, well, what is it? And I tried to explain it to the best of my ability, which I'm still not great at. And I just said, well, I would imagine like doing the course myself, you know, it helped my confidence around horses even. So I'm sure it would help her. So let's give it a shot. Right. And they're like, okay, perfect. So I picked this medium pony, usually really great guy, super friendly, loved attention. He wasn't skittish. He wasn't hot-headed, like just an all around barn favorite. And the series of obstacles that I started with was actually called Starting the Journey and Circuit Training. I kind of combined the two, which really are focused on building relationships and just getting comfortable with your horse and starting to understand their body language, right? So we start working through our obstacles, and she's leaning the pony through the first one, and everything's great, right? It went perfect. She's like, oh, this is fun, right? We discussed how she felt. We went and we moved on. So obstacle two was a little rougher. I noticed that she started to carry herself a little different ever so slightly. I noticed it very, very slightly. And I noticed that the pony started to respond to her a little bit differently. And by differently, I mean he started to be a bit of a bum. Okay. By obstacle three, my barn favorite, quiet superstar pony, turned into a giant bully. And that's the best way that I can explain it. And he wasn't giant because he was only a medium pony, but like he was pushing her around. He headbutted her helmet a couple of times. He was just disregarding everything that she asked him to do. So I let her struggle for maybe 30 seconds, right? Because the idea is to try and help her build confidence, not break down. And, you know, I took the pony away and let her take a deep breath while she, you know, could gather herself and her thoughts. And we had a little bit of a chat. And when I took the pony from her, the pony went back to being a normal, his normal self, normal barn self, right? So, you know, the first question that I asked her was, how'd that go? And her response was like, not great. So then we dug into, we dug a little bit deeper into that. And I asked her how things went in obstacle one. And she responded with, it was really good. He listened to me. I said, okay, well, what was the difference between obstacle one and obstacle three? And she said that she felt less sure as the obstacles went forward, because even though they weren't hard, the obstacles asked for different things. And she wasn't really sure if she was doing them right. So then I asked her what the pony did differently between the obstacles. And she said he was really good at first. And then he just got more opinionated and, you know, turned into a jerk as time went on, you know. So, and then I asked her, I said, so what changed between the obstacles? What, think about it, really think about what changed between the obstacles. And it was almost like you could see the light bulb go off. She was like, oh, the more unsure I got, the more nervous I got. And I'm like, oh, she's like, my body language changed. And I went, you think? And she's like, yeah. She's like, how did it change? And I'm like, well, you kind of started to hunch a little bit, right? Your shoulders slumped a little. You started to avoid eye contact. You kept your head down. I mean, you started to look nervous as time went on. I said, you know, so I just explained to her at that point, horses are herd animals, which we had talked about before we started, you know, and they need a leader. Just like humans, we need a leader of some kind, right? Whether it's ourselves or we're looking to somebody else for leadership, you know? So when she started to second guess herself and get nervous, the pony decided that he needed to take over and lead because she wasn't really leading, you know? And the words that came out of her mouth next were heartbreaking to me. She said, well, would that be a reason that I get bullied at school? And I was like, My jaw basically hit the ground. I was like, well, yeah, bullies don't pick on people who seem confident, right? And sure of themselves, you know, and it was that moment her parents were sitting in the bleachers and they were watching, and like, there was not a dry eye in that arena. She was crying because she realized that she will go out on the playground feeling great. And then she'll walk past somebody and she'll hear them whisper and immediately think it's about her. And then she feels, you know, less confident as she's going on. And then people just kind of, she felt like people were singling her out to kind of bully her, you know? And it was really, really, really profound, you know? And wow. That kid came back to me 6 months after she finished the program, and she gave me a huge hug and she thanked me. And she's like, man, I learned to act confident even if I didn't feel confident. Yeah. And now I don't get bullied. She's like, I walk out on the playground and I hear somebody whisper, and it's not, I don't care if they're whispering about me. She's like, it doesn't matter.
Wow.
So
well, that's amazing.
That story is huge, right? And that was, I think it was maybe my first 6 weeks.
Oh my goodness.
Right? Like, it was very close to when I first started. And, you know, that moment I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm where I need to be.
Yes. I was going to say, what a right? reaffirming that was. Wow.
Yeah. You know, and in another situation, you know, I've had several with the adults too. The one with the lady in her corporate team building where she figured out she was micromanaging, right? Yeah. And another lady come in who was going through a divorce, and she was having some real struggles with, you know, just her self-worth, right? And, you know, we went through obstacles. I actually had her work with Perry, And Perry's just a big old snuggle bunny. I love him to pieces. He's so, so chill, right? Like, he's the perfect soul. If you are sad, he is the soul for you. You know, and like I had her work with Perry, and by the time that she left, like, she was sobbing in his neck because she was like, I have been holding myself back from so many things. She said, like, I can't believe that I just allow myself to get in this cycle of just kind of la, 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 going with the flow and not really making any changes. She said, I can't believe it. She said, like, I have been holding myself back.
Wow.
So it's huge. It's been an absolutely amazing journey so far. I'm so grateful.
Well, I am so grateful for you and introducing me to it. And yeah, I just think this is something that I don't think I've got any more room on my plate per se to take on something new, but I'm a firm believer. And, you know, you and I got together so I could get a bit more informed and educated, since there's an area in which I help people do some consulting. And, you know, like, is it a possibility to, you know, have an EAL program added to this certain, you know, area that I'm looking into with a group of people? And you definitely mm-hmm. helped me answer those questions. And so hopefully you and I can make that happen. But
absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I'm so thankful for this conversation. Now, Alicia, an exciting future for Alicia Wilson. We'll see her doing what?
I can promise you that my future is most definitely going to be unapologetically and authentically me. I'm really, really working hard on fine-tuning my values. I know what they are, but I also, you can dig a little deeper, as you showed me when we were talking. Right now I just got my level one Reiki certification. So I'll be working on moving on the levels up through Reiki so that I can help add another level of stress reduction and relaxation for people. You know, we're working hard at getting my herd of rescues back to their former glory as far as their health and well-being goes, and just letting them be spoiled. I made a promise to them when I brought them here that they would have a soft landing, and I plan to keep that promise to the best of my ability. I'm actually working on having a young lady certified. So I'll be having her hired, and I'll be getting more team members on board. I'll be looking forward to, as always, collaborating with like-minded individuals and businesses, you know, working with some really awesome mental health professionals here in the upcoming future, on some new programming, and just striving to bring the best of myself and my whole team to the table, through different continuing education. I'm very excited to keep working my way up in the levels through DreamWins. I cannot stress enough what a wonderful, wonderful program DreamWins Cartier Farms has.
Yeah.
My dream of being able to share my passion for horses with everyone is now very much a reality. And I'm really just going to keep working hard to expand and build on that. And, you know, again, just staying true to my values and making sure that I bring the best of the best wherever I'm at.
Well, your passion and excitement is palpable through a microphone. So
thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm positive that you are going to achieve all those goals. And like I said, I'm very grateful to have had this time with you. And I have a feeling you and I are probably going to be hanging out a little bit more together.
I so look forward to it. I really thank you so much for having me on. When you asked me, I was like flabbergasted. I was like, really? Me?
Absolutely.
I really, really appreciate it. Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been fantastic.
Well, thank you, Alicia. And yes, good luck in all your adventures. I'm positive you're going to succeed.
Thank you.
So there you have it. I have some great interviews lined up for future episodes, and we'll be covering some pretty interesting topics, as always, with the intent to open and engage the horse world on a wide variety of issues.
So until next time, keep your eyes forward and continue to hit your stride. To stay current with Hitting Your Stride, subscribe on my website or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. If you like what you've heard here today, make sure you share and leave a comment to help guide future episodes and widen the audience. And be sure to check out social media to keep up to date with Equestrian Elements Life Coaching.